So I'm going to begin by sharing a song with you guys, and you know, this is worship, so you can join in singing if you know the words, if you know the song. If you don't, then you can just kind of meditate on the words. And so some of you who are musical, you can catch, you know, right up and start singing with us after I sing it once or so. Let's begin to worship the Lord. And if you can't, if you're gonna sing along, worship with along, please mute yourself, because there's a delay. So if everybody's singing together, it's gonna confuse people. So if you're gonna sing along, please demute your audio.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living. Just because He lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, here is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Let's sing that one more time.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for You. We live for You. Holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who You are, and fill me with Your heart and of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for You, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever see. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. We live for You.
Holy.
Holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me You are, and fill me with Your heart, and lead me in Your love. up to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Only there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder, and show me who you are, and fill me with your heart, and lead me in your love to those around me. Only there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and
God, our prayer today as we continue to worship, as we listen to your word, God, teach us your way of love, and allow us to minister out of the fullness of that love in us, Lord. So we thank you, God, for who you are, what you've done, and just outpouring of your grace this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So David mentioned, I've been part of the We movement for some time now. And, you know, I came on initially just to support Dan. But you know what? I keep coming back because it's really good for my soul. And I appreciate the ministry because what you're doing is you guys are creating a place, a safe place to really open up and share things, you know, preach the word and have fellowship. And it's just been really good. I so appreciate the We movement. I appreciate Dan because he actually said yes to God. I mean, he stepped out and said yes to create this. And I believe the Lord is definitely in it. And such a good message last week on communion. If you were here, I mean, he went back way back to the history. Right, a Passover, talking about the blood of the lamb. He talked about what the communion is, how to take it, and what happens when the church comes together to take the bread and the wine that symbolizes the body and the blood of Christ. And so it's really special. And when Dan asked me to speak today, as I started to pray about today's topic, right away, Philippians chapter 2 came to mind. And I knew why. Because I feel like the Lord wants us to go deeper with this idea of unity and the body of Christ and what it means to truly love one another. You see, during the Passover meal, just before Jesus was betrayed, he did and said something that would show his humility, but also what it means to be a servant and also how to love each other. So after washing the feet of his disciples on his knees and after Judas left the room, Jesus said this, John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, when Jesus is talking about new commandment, he's not talking about literally a new commandment. He's saying, let me give you a fresh perspective okay, something different. Because he already talked to the disciples about loving your neighbor. But remember, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. But here he's saying, love one another as I have loved you. So the extent and the depth of love just increased hundredfold. Okay. Not just love your neighbor as yourself, now love each other, right? As followers of Christ, as his followers, to love one another as Jesus loved them. What does that mean? Love unconditionally, love sacrificially, even to the point of death. And he says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you are my followers, if you have this love for each other. I remember back in 2008 when we started the church in Nyack, I took these two verses, and the Lord had me walking around the village of Nyack. I'm not talking about South Nyack, Upper Nyack, West Nyack, Central Nyack, just this, the village of Nyack, about 1 square mile. Walked around looking for churches, knocking on the door. There was about 12 churches. I was surprised, that many churches in 1 square mile. And each church had multiple congregations, many ethnic churches. And so I went there, knocking on the door, asking the pastors, hey, you know, no agenda, no promotions. Let's just get together and pray together for Naya. I had one taker. One pastor said yes. And maybe a couple of years later, another pastor joined. See, to me, it didn't matter who you are, what denomination, what church, as long as you love Jesus. And of course, have understanding that we are saved by grace through faith. Yeah. But if you want to work together, let's go. Let's do it together. And so for many years, we put together this music festival called Not Your Mama's Church Music Festival. Now, the reason why we named that is because we wanted people to know that, yeah, we don't just sing hymns, but we have other songs. Check us out. And we had about 12 churches from Rockland County throughout the day, taking turns, worshiping, playing, you know, music and gathering people, invited the community to come out. We had different booths where churches have their information so that people can come and see that we're not just about our own churches, that we can work together to show love for one another. They saw different denominations working together and worshiping together. And when they see that, according to what Jesus said, they're going to know that we are his disciples. And so I want you to keep those two verses, John 13, 34, 35, in mind as a backdrop. And we're going to take a look at the book of Philippians. Now, back in 2003, while I was still in seminary, and understand, I've read through Philippians before, but I was not ready for what was in store for me in a class taught by Steve Bailey. That's right. I think he's the older brother, Dan Bailey, but he taught a class. He used to be a missionary, some sort of intercultural studies. I think the class was called People, Culture, and Places or something like that. Anyway, I don't remember too much about the class, but one time when he explained Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, something in my spirit clicked. You know when you have an aha moment, when the light goes on in your head? No. Actually, this was a fireworks going off in my spirit. This is what laid the foundation and shaped my theology, how I do ministry, how I share the gospel, how I relate to people. This was something of an epiphany. You may think, oh, paradigm shift. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. All I know is that I was undone that particular class. So what I was blessed with, I hope to bless you with today. The title of today's talk, How Low Can You Go? How low can you go? And you may already have an idea where I'm going with this. If not, you'll quickly see why this title. So let's read through the passage, Philippians 2, 1 through 11. If we have any volunteers to read. It's going to be on the screen.
All right, I'll read Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, and it reads, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves.
Next.
Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count it equally with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Next. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Thank you for the reading. Now let's unpack this verse by verse, and I promise it'll go quickly. So when we look at verse one, we know that Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. And anyone in Christ is someone who started following Jesus, putting faith and trust in him as Savior and Lord. And so it says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the spirit, any affection and sympathy. So this letter is really to Christians, right? To spiritual brothers and sisters. So if you're in Christ, having received agape love and living in full cooperation with the Holy Spirit, Paul says, here's how you can make me happy. Verse two, how? Have the same mind, same love. Verse two says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being full accord and of one mind. Meaning, guys, do your best to think alike. Be in complete agreement because you all have the mind of Christ. And he goes on, you all share the same love from God, which is the best form of love, agape love, unconditional and sacrificial love. Verse three, do nothing. Don't you just hate it when Paul uses such extreme language like this? Because do nothing means not a single thing, zero, nada, zilch. Verse three, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Do nothing to gain for yourself out of pride, which means the flip side is do everything in humility. Do nothing in selfishness, but do everything in humility to gain for someone else, for the other person. How? By thinking others more highly or better than ourselves. It's a tall order, isn't it? I know. But I want to call this the you first principle. And so if you don't, after the, you know, today, you don't remember much about the talk or the message, I want you to remember you first, the you first principle. And verse four really lays this out. It says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Sure, you can take care of yourself, because if you're not well, you're no good to anyone else. So what Paul is saying here is this, don't look out for yourself only, but remember to think about the needs and concerns of others as well. That's what he's saying. In verse five, and guess what? We have this great example through Jesus Christ who shows us the way of deep humility. So we can not only know it, but also live it. Verse five says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And when Paul says, have this mind, it's not just have these thoughts. It's not saying just think like Jesus did. Okay. The word mind in Greek here is not only think about it, but actually do it. Not only know it, but actually act on it. Okay. So don't just know it, but to actually live out the humility. So how do we do this, right? How can we be just like Jesus? Verses 6 and 7. So Paul begins to tell the church what Jesus did to actually demonstrate everything Paul's already talked about in the last five verses. And what did Paul talk about so far? He talked about encouragement, love, affection, sympathy, one love, one mind, consider others more better than or significant than ourselves, look to the interests of others as well. Okay. And so what we see here in verse 6-7, okay, first of all, God became man. This is called incarnation. And the thing is, incarnation means God takes on the flesh of man. The word itself is not in the Bible. So if you look up incarnation in the Bible, you won't find it. But what we see here is exactly that, incarnation, God becoming man. And I believe this is the most important part of this message. It's the part really that rocked my soul to the core. Because I think here's the thing. As Christians, sometimes we downplay how God became man. Jesus, who is God, think about this, the maker of the universe, okay, out of humility, willingly and intentionally emptied himself. Or a different way to put it, he deprived himself in order to take on the form of a man. Sometimes we say, you know, God becoming man, that's like comparing man becoming like ants. But that really doesn't do justice, I don't think. Do you realize the divide, the chasm, the gap that God had to cross over to become like us? I can't even begin to imagine that. Think about it. Infinite to finite, divine to mundane, heavenly to earthly, supernatural to natural. You get the idea, right? And he did it for us, for you and me. You first. You see that? You first principle right here. Because he thought of us first to walk in our shoes so he can identify with us, so he can more than just sympathize, but to empathize. Now you might ask, what's the difference? Sympathy and empathy, isn't that the same thing? No, it's different. Quote unquote, sympathy is acknowledging that the other person is going through an emotional or physical struggle, supporting them and giving them comfort. Empathy is something more than just this. Is actually understanding what the other person is feeling because you've had a similar experience yourself, or you're able to put yourself in their shoes. Jesus can empathize with us because he entered fully into humanity. That's what Hebrews 2:17 tells us. He was tempted. He suffered just like us, so he understands. The scripture also tells us he went before us, right? So when you feel like no one in the entire world understands what you're going through, there is one who does, and his name is Jesus. And if God, as if God to man wasn't enough, he became a servant. I mean, how low can you go? Verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The answer is lower. God to man, man to servant, and furthermore, servant to death. Death on the cross, meant for the worst of the criminals. But we know that's not the end of the story. Because we come to verses 9, 10, and 11. And I'm going to read that for you. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know that the kingdom of God is upside down. You know. Jesus humbles himself to the lowest place. God exalted him to the highest place. So when you are in Christ, you have the confidence of knowing who you are. And so you can boldly follow the footsteps of Jesus in going down, humbly going down. You're not afraid. And by that, I mean, what I'm saying is you have the strength and the power to incarnate with others. You can step out of your comfort zone and enter into others' lives and give of yourself and not worry about that you're going to lose part of yourself in the process or get hurt or be rejected. You don't worry about those things. So what I'm asking you to do is to cross over, take risk in order to bless someone. And when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. Now, let me give you a quick personal example from my own life experience. I've been in ministry, full-time ministry since 2003. And there's been seasons when my wife worked and stayed home. I used to think, what does my wife do at home? All day long while I'm at work, doing my best to bring home the bacon. I think I even asked her once, and if you're married, please don't ever ask this your wife. But I said, honey, what do you do at home all day long while I'm hard at work at my job? Oh, big mistake. I think she stopped cooking for a week or something. And then I got to stay home. I got to be the stay-home dad. And boy, I learned my lesson. Cleaning. I didn't realize there's so much to clean in the house. Taking care of our baby. Shopping. Planning for meals. That was a big one. You know, you eat your breakfast and you already think about lunch. And when you're done with lunch, you're thinking about dinner. So you're constantly planning your meals, cooking, actually cooking the meals, washing the dishes, washing the clothes. Guys, every day, literally, I was ready for a nap by 3 o'clock. No joke. It's a full-time job and then some. And since then, I never complain or ask what she does at home. I was able to incarnate. Lived her life for just a few months and understood completely what she goes through each and every day. Now, the passage in Philippians is directed at Christians. And I think if we actually follow the scripture, I think we can tear down division, tear down denominations, tear down disagreements in the church. No more infighting. Amen. But how about bring this principle to other relationships, any relationship with any other human being, especially the lost? I believe we can make powerful, powerful inroads with our family members, our coworkers, and neighbors as we understand where they're coming from, why they do what they do, and what experience they carry with them. So I'm going to encourage us to humble ourselves, enter into others' lives, and practice you first. Amen. Now, whenever I share God's word, I always end with next step. Because we want, yes, we heard the word, we read the scripture, but it's not just for information. We want to be transformed by it. So what do we do? Okay, what's a step that we can take after listening to God's word? I would say incarnate. And there are three components to this. And let me explain. One, if you want to incarnate, you need to listen. We need to listen. There was a story about a man who was riding the subway, and he had two little boys, maybe 4 or 5 years old, just running around like crazy, yelling and jumping and stuff. And a lady who was sitting there just like got really annoyed. And so she's like, come on. Like, she wasn't going to say anything, but she just had to speak out. Excuse me, but these kids are so unruly. Can you please control them? Do something? They're disrupting everyone here. And the man said, excuse me, but ma'am, I'm coming from my wife's funeral. And my kids, they were so good. They sat there quietly. They didn't know what was going on, but they sat there and behaved really well for a couple of hours. So now that we're here, I just let them be. Let them be themselves. And when she heard that, her attitude, her perspective just completely changed. Okay. She was able to understand and even feel what he was going through. Okay. So what she saw wasn't necessarily what was really going on. So we need to listen. But secondly, we need to empathize. And in order to empathize, you got to go back to the first, right, step, which is listen, right? We need to enter into other people's lives, listen, spend time. And one way to really empathize is ask questions. How are you doing? What is going on? What was your day like? So we need to listen, empathize, but we need to also serve. And that's what Jesus did. Reach out to someone who's different. I want you to, this week, if you can just really pray about this, reach out to someone who's very different. You know, someone who looks different. Maybe you know, someone who's got lots of tattoos and piercings. Or if you have lots of tattoos and piercings, reach out to somebody who doesn't. Reach out to somebody who looks different, talks different, coming from a different background. Okay, someone with a different political view, perhaps someone much older or younger, someone with different skin color, someone from different church, different denomination, maybe, you know, holding on to different theology. How about this? You know, next time you see a homeless guy, stop and talk to the person, listen, pray with them. Okay. Or the guy that pumps your gas every week, just ask, how are you doing? What's your name? What's going on? We can reach out, and if there's a need, we can definitely help. Here's the thing. If we're able to better love one another in the church, I believe we can better love others in the world. Amen. I'm going to hand it over to David, who's going to go over some questions so we could have a conversation.